This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. This hour, President Trump addressing the Davos Economic Forum virtually.
My message to every business in the world is very simple. Come make your product in America, and we will give you among the lowest taxes of any nation on earth.
The big question at Davos, how far will Trump go with tariffs?
Is he going to use tariffs more as a negotiating tactic to get what he wants with countries like China on other terms? Or is he really going to follow through on some of those threats, which would have a bigger impact and rippling down to the price that we pay for everyday products?
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. Santa Ana winds whipping up another wildfire in Southern California. More than 50,000 people forced to flee or are under evacuation warnings as the Hughes Fire burns north of Los Angeles. Amelia Perez leading with the most Oscar nominations today, 13. Only three films, All About Eve, Titanic, and La La Land, have scored more nominations in Academy Awards history. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. It was a busy Wednesday in La Crosse City Government as three committees met. The Economic and Community Development Commission was introduced to a pair of TIF applicants, took action on three property purchases, and worked on amending a loan with property developers that was originally issued in 1998. The city administrator worker met as the city continued its work towards adding that position, and the Police and Fire Commission gave personnel updates. The Redevelopment Authority meets today. Last night, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers gave his State of the State address. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
In his seventh State of the State address, Governor Tony Evers declared 2025 to be the year of the kid. He outlined several policies, programs, and initiatives to make kids smarter, healthier, and safer. One of the ways he proposed doing so is with gun reform, to include background checks for all firearm purchases, instituting red flag laws, and restoring the 48-hour waiting period to purchase firearms. In addition to gun reform, Evers called for free breakfast and lunch for all school children, and increased funding to mitigate the child care shortage in the state. He also proposed to invest $300 million to provide comprehensive mental health services in schools. The Republican response to the speech was delivered by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
We have the largest one-time surplus in state history, and instead of talking about how to return that money to working families tonight, Governor Evers prioritized adding more spending and growing the size of government.
As Evers wrapped up his speech, he addressed national issues such as immigration, reproductive rights, and LGBTQ protections. He said he would veto any bill that makes Wisconsin less safe, less inclusive, or less welcoming. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
Evers will speak again to the state legislature on February 18th to present his biennial budget.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
The Bucks take on Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks back home tonight against the Miami Heat at Fiserv Forum, but Miami's Jimmy Butler will not be there. The former Marquette star missed the team flight to Milwaukee last night, so the Heat have suspended him the next two games. Butler claims he planned to take a later flight. He just completed a seven-game suspension for conduct detrimental to the team. He's made it no secret he wants to be traded to the Phoenix Suns. College football, the Badgers' new offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes, asked, what's the plan at quarterback now that Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke have both transferred out of Wisconsin?
We went and recruited a couple of guys. Billy Edwards obviously is somebody that we're expecting big things from. He came here not long after I did, and so there's a natural connection there for he and I. That would be the case whether he were new or not. Building a trust and a relationship with your quarterback is certainly something that's important for me.
That's the Badgers coach Jeff Grimes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We are going to put a little pause on that warm-up that started yesterday. Today, sunshine, cooler, 12 our high this afternoon. Tonight, down to 2 below, but we will get back to 23 tomorrow, 32 our high by Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. It is 8 degrees outside right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We will review the governor's State of the State address and the Republican response and take your phone calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11:30 news, he joins us every other Thursday. The Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, will be here. We're going to talk about the loss of Bob Uecker. Also, the coaching shuffle going on in the NFC. And the Bears hiring Ben Johnson from the Lions. All that and more coming up with Paul Noonan. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Smile, You're on Camera edition. Stick around for that. Right now, we're joined by our friend and colleague and host of Up North News Radio. Every morning from 6 to 8 a.m., doing double duty for us here. Pat Kreitlow is joining us. Good morning. How are you, Pat?
Well, I'm better now. I'm always a little bit worried that you're going to move one of those segments. And when you go, this shouldn't be a thing. And then I find myself up on screen. And I'm like, awkward. Weirdest way to give notice ever. But no, you didn't do that. So thank you. I'm great.
We would never do that. You should you should definitely be a thing.
Well, you are thing.
It would be, but it would be a pretty cool way to let somebody go. We've certainly seen the craptastic ways that people let other people go. So yeah. I would go for some. I want to go out with something novel like that. So, you know, keep that in mind if it ever comes to that.
Well, we'll put that in the back. We'll put that in the, save that there in the background.
Go. We'll workshop it.
Yeah. Before we get to CBS 58 in Milwaukee, just hired one of their meteorologists.
Fired.
One of their meteorologists for a post she made about Elon Musk and a gesture that he made. Before we get to that, I do want to talk about Governor Evers' State of the State address last night, because I know you and Todd Albaugh and Ed Schaefer and a number of members from our news team here at Civic Media covered it. What did you think about it? What do you take away from last night's speech?
Well, the main thing I took away is it was, you know, Governor Evers being Governor Evers. There wasn't anything, you know, terribly new about it. We know where his priorities are. His priorities are with children, with education, with health care, with economic development, with making, you know, government work right for as many people as possible. That's something he's always stood for. Now, if you want to take a critical view of it, and I will to play devil's advocate here, you have, with new maps, you have Republicans in what you would call swing districts. You know, some of them won by like 200 votes.
That's not much.
Out of thousands cast. And so you're looking to peel off some of those on some pretty easy things. There's low-hanging fruit out there, like, you know, free school lunches or postpartum care for new moms, things that Robin Voss has consistently stood in the way of. Some of these Republicans need to go back home and put some separation between themselves or Robin Voss, or the legislature is going to flip Democratic next year. Evers perhaps could have done more to appeal to them, but for now he has set the table. Like, this is where his values are, this is where his standards are, and it was, you know, it was a pretty consistent list with what he has proposed in the past.
I don't know if, I mean, honestly, just short of a classic wrestling heel turn, if he like became a Republican at the podium, I don't think there is anything he could do or say where the Republicans are going to say yes.
That's a reasonable.
That's a great idea.
Idea.
We like this. This is, we like this Evers. I just feel like anything he talks about, anything he proposes, it is, to quote the Popcorn King himself, dead on arrival, which is a very great way to say we're going to work together. But I just don't see anything he does making their way into their brains and saying, well, let's talk about it at least.
Right, because the real sausage is, you know, made in the caucus rooms and behind closed doors and in, you know, Capitol corridors and places like that. And, you know, Voss and Senate Republican leader Devin Lemahieu, they understand stagecraft and that the instructions were, you know, to scowl and not, you know, applaud as very little as possible, because it's not like somebody's going to run a lit piece against them in the next campaign going, no, Representative Franklin didn't stand up for this applause line in the state of the state. It's not going to matter by then. So for them, it's just all make Governor Evers feel as uncomfortable as possible, get out of there, and then we'll get to the actual sausage making later on.
And I guess what always stands out to me, Pat, is when Governor Evers brings up common sense gun safety things that a vast majority of Wisconsinites agree upon, the Republicans come back with Governor Evers hates children and Governor Evers doesn't protect the unborn. It's like, can we care about the kids who are born? Can we care about the kids who are getting shot in school? We just had another one yesterday in Tennessee where a young girl was killed and then the gunman killed himself. Can we care about those kids?
No, because he doesn't, and cannot actually do anything and will not do anything to increase the safety of our children, just in the same way that they won't adopt anything that would make government more efficient. To them, efficiency in government is cutting government. This Office of Violence Prevention could make things a lot easier. It could streamline some processes, get rid of some paperwork, spend our tax dollars more wisely. But instead, it's being attacked as a new form of government. And there's just nothing I can see that the Republicans are going to propose in the state budget for job growth or anything having to do with the economy, except make it worse through cuts and things. They can only ruin what Joe Biden and Tony Evers have delivered for the economy so far. So their job is just to say no and to do what they can for, you know, their largest clients, the wealthiest tax filers, oil companies, gun makers, things like that.
I was going to say, it's all about Diane Hendricks. She needs to be taken care of, Pat, and other billionaires like her. Those are the people we need to be concerned about.
Absolutely. That, again, you know your audience, and it's not those tens of thousands of constituents back home. It's the ones who help pay for your campaign and keep you in power.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why we wanted to have you on this morning, again, CBS 58 firing meteorologist Sam Cuffell after she said on social media that Elon Musk gave a Nazi salute twice on Inauguration Day. She is no longer with the station. She did have quite a few profanities in there as well. I saw you last night on Blue Sky, Pat, and you came out firmly in Sam Cuffell's camp.
Oh, without a doubt. I absolutely stand with Sam on this. And I can do so by saying directly, I would not have necessarily put those posts up if I were in her position. They were, let's use the word, inelegant, shall we say. If trust me, I have worked at places. This was pre-social media. This was like emails where people were writing these emails that they were going to send to the boss. And I'm like, no.
Don't do that.
Put that in the draft folder, sleep on it, come back. I have done that plenty of times with social media posts where I put something there. I go away, get a cup of coffee or whatever, come back and I go, let's play with this a little bit.
Yeah.
But do they rise to the level of firing because a meteorologist dared take a stand against a Nazi salute? Come on, let's be clear about one thing, and this is going to be my phrase, and I'm going to stick to it. If you don't want to call it a Nazi salute, that's fine. That's your business. It's a Nazi-adjacent salute, at the very least. He knew what he was doing. Now, people are putting up pictures on social media of Democrats coming to podiums, waving to the crowd with the arm up. That's funny. Now show the video. Show the video and show where that looks like a Nazi salute. Look at Elon Musk's, who is backing the far-right party in the upcoming German elections. Between that, all of his other statements from growing up in apartheid South Africa, then tell me he didn't mean to make what I will call a Nazi-adjacent salute, which should absolutely be criticized by every American. The only right thing for management at CBS 58 to do would have been to put out a statement saying, we have talked to Sam, we'd prefer to, you know, maybe not make a political post whenever possible, but we stand against Nazism. Just so we're clear on that, we stand against Nazism, and Sam is going to continue doing her job here. That's what they should have said to, you know, the right-wing mob, you know, the people who suddenly want free speech until they don't.
Yeah.
That's what CBS 58 should have said to them and didn't, and they deserve all of the ire that's coming at them.
Well, and also, they can't now, because when you have a president who says, we're going to revisit all of your licenses, and anyone who speaks ill of me or my ilk or my posse could get a license pulled, now they're afraid and no one can speak up. And I find it very, very interesting that the, you know, if you read the article, you can see just who did the tattletaling on this whole thing. You know, it's okay to make fun of an impaired person, a young impaired person with autism. 2 weeks vacation you get. You get 2 weeks vacation. You get to come back and do your thing versus this.
In case you're not sure what Greg is referring to, there is a right-wing host here in Milwaukee who said some very nasty things about Tim Walz's son, who is autistic. And, yeah, he posted some really nasty stuff on Twitter questioning the kid's manhood or something absurd.
Because he was crying.
And, they yanked him off the air for 2 weeks, and then he's back.
Yep.
So there does seem to be a difference in treatment, shall we say.
This is what Trump Republicans want, is they want the intimidation. They want you to feel like, even if your license isn't pulled, that people will make noise about it. That much like the intimidation of, I know I'm not going to win this lawsuit, but I'm going to file it against you because then you got to pay for lawyers, you got to show up, you got to go through the stress of it all, and places crumble, like the networks that have crumbled before Trump, settling defamation lawsuits and things like that, unnecessarily. It's that kind of intimidation that Trump wants. And obeying in advance to somebody that wants to be an authoritarian ruler is not going to help you in the long run. CBS 58 isn't going to have their license pulled anytime soon. They're going to have it threatened again and again and again now that this has happened. How dare they run that CBS program, even if it's not in their power to block out a CBS program. But if somebody doesn't like it, they're going to pull for the license to be yanked. This is what you invite when you do something as gutless as this.
We'll continue this conversation with our colleague, Pat Kreitlow. You can always join us, 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide. We're global, baby, on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at the same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. We're joined by the yacht rockiest of our civic media hosts. Pat Kreitlow is here, host of Up North News Radio, 6 to 8 a.m. on the network. And we're talking about CBS 58 in Milwaukee firing meteorologist Sam Cuffell after she criticized Elon Musk at the inauguration for doing what some and many are saying is a Nazi salute. I guess
we'll call it Nazi adjacent, but
Nazi adjacent.
You see what he just did? He just weighed in on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
I did see that. That should concern our friend Dan Schaefer.
Yeah. Shared that with us.
That should concern everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If Elon's going to be putting his eyes on a Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and Greg and I were talking about this right before we went on the air, Pat, the Republicans are fine with Elon dumping millions and billions of dollars into our election, but George Soros is evil.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, it's always, you know, it's okay if we do it.
My guy's fine.
If we buy elections, it's okay. But this guy who's putting money into candidates or groups or campaigns or media outlets, apparently that to them is the handiwork of something, insert anti-Semitic trope here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But for their guy, it's perfectly fine.
We got to keep an eye on that. That is very, very concerning. But going back to Sam Cuffell, the CBS 58 meteorologist who just lost her job after posting on Twitter, I guess, Pat, to me, I think a large part of it, though, was the swearing in her message. Here is what she posted with a picture of Musk at the podium saying, quote, "Dude Nazi saluted twice during the inauguration. You blank with this and this man. I don't blank with you, full stop." And then she posted a GIF from It's Always Sunny in Philly saying, "Screw that old blank, he's a Nazi." I think part of the problem was the cursing.
I guess I can agree with that, but I would come back to any management that told me they had an issue with that, and I would say, if you were going to make an exception where somebody on your staff felt so strongly about something that they used a bad word and you would be okay with it, what would that have to be? Could I suggest being against Nazis? Could that be in that, you know, very rarefied air of something where you'd be okay with a cuss word? Because I would think so. There's no reason why people from Sam Cuffell on down, anywhere and everywhere, shouldn't be allowed to have the strongest possible reaction to what is truly a great threat to mankind, has been responsible for millions upon millions of deaths. There's no way that anything adjacent to Nazism should receive a moment's peace or accommodation. And that's what happens when you fire somebody for using naughty words. Again, I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't do it if I were still an on-air personality at TV. But the still, it the whatever crime, you know, offense she committed by using cuss words was more than offset by the negative action of firing somebody for engaging in free speech about something Nazi adjacent.
Well, and it is remarkable. You were talking about the excuses now coming from the right, and that wasn't a Nazi salute, and all of these they're trying to put together. They put some footage up of Kamala Harris, who was gesturing with her right hand, and they're trying to equate that with a Nazi salute. Yeah, not the same thing. It really isn't the same thing.
Again, the selective editing. You see this in campaign commercials all the time, too, or in news clips on Fox and other right-wing things where they don't roll the full clip, or they'll take something out of context. That's so easy to do on something like a gesture. But again, look at the video of what he did. If you doubt it for a moment, have you do it. Do it in the mirror and tell me what it looks like to you. And if you're going to tell me it doesn't look like a Hitler salute to me, well, at least I know you're being honest, with yourself on, what you're made of.
I think I was thinking about that this yesterday morning, that there was a time when Nazism, Hitler, those were just, givens. We automatic. You're done. Your job is done. Your career is done. All these things, but now it has to be. Rick Wilson from the Lincoln Project put out a great tweet the other day where it said the arc of the whole thing, where it starts with he didn't do a Nazi salute, all the way through justification to the end of being someone saying, well, Adolf Hitler had some good ideas. You got to admit that. Like, the conversation now is where we have to actually let someone say, well, let me defend Hitler for a moment.
It's so new and it's disgustingly new.
Yes.
On the other hand, no. No other hand here. None.
Well, and Calvin mentioned this too before we were talking about this before we got on the air about now they're blaming autism. Now it's because Elon is autistic that he did this and he has, he's on the spectrum. And I just think for people who have autism, that must be infuriating.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely insulting. Again, you're looking for any scapegoating, and not meaning to change the subject here, but as I'm looking at the coverage of all the Republican members of Congress from Wisconsin who are saying, well, I wouldn't have pardoned everybody from January 6th, but, he did it. I wouldn't have done the same. No, don't. The headline makes it sound like they're separating themselves. No, they're not. He gave them cover. They're taking it. This looking for excuses thing is just so irresponsible and not what we should be expecting from our elected officials.
And what makes me crazy about the Republicans and Trump pardoning all of these traitors from the January 6th attack at the Capitol, John Thune said yesterday, we're all about looking forward. We're all about going forward, not looking in the past, apparently except when it comes to Hunter Biden and all that stuff. That stuff, they're still looking backward as far as that goes. News is coming up next. Pat Kreitlow, catch him weekday morning, 6 to 8 a.m. Up North News Radio. Thank you so much, Pat. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. See you later.
News coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
At Arcadia, to the list of area school districts going to referendum, the district is seeking a four-year operational referendum at a total price tag of $3.75 million to cover the cost of paying for staff and facilities. 92 districts statewide so far have committed to a referendum this spring, 5 in February, including Mauston, and 87 more in April, including Arcadia, Bangor, Cochrane, Fountain City, DeSoto, Holman, Independence, Melrose, Mindoro, New Lisbon, Prairie du Chien, Viroqua, and Whitehall. Governor Tony Evers spoke about the need for more mental health services in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
Governor Tony Evers named 2025 the Year of the Kid in his address. He highlighted many initiatives aimed at improving the lives of children not just in school, but during the 80% of the time that they're not in school as well. He said in his upcoming biennial budget proposal, he'll ask for $300 million to provide mental health services in schools statewide.
Let's start treating our state's mental health crisis with the urgency it requires.
The $300 million would also fund expanded mental health training and peer-to-peer suicide prevention programs.
While Governor Evers pitched funding increases for education in last night's State of the State, the Department of Public Instruction announced it was freezing any hiring through June while the state budget process plays out. The DPI's budget was cut by $2.3 million in the last budget cycle. Republicans applauded the hiring freeze as a sign of fiscal responsibility. The DPI has requested an additional $3 billion for public education in the next budget cycle, including the $300 million for mental health services. President Donald Trump issued pardons to over 1,500 people who were charged in the January 6th Capitol insurrection on Monday, and among those pardoned were 11 people from Wisconsin. That includes Charles Walters of Sparta, Abram Markovsky of La Crosse, Joshua Munn of Melrose, and Kevin Loftus of Eau Claire. Trump's blanket pardon also commuted any ongoing sentences. The pardons were part of a wave of executive orders issued by Trump once he took office this week.
For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Abbott Elementary, which should include everyone, will be excited to hear that the show has been renewed for a fifth season. News comes on the heels of good winter ratings and a crossover episode with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that drew over 8 million viewers. The show is about an underfunded inner-city Philadelphia public school and has great laughs. Abbott Elementary airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on ABC. Star Wars might be about to get a little more dreamy. Sure, Deadpool and Wolverine director Sean Levy is on board to helm, and people seem happy with the script. But it's the rumors that Ryan Gosling will lead the cast that's gotten everyone excited. If Gosling signs on, the film will start principal photography very soon, according to The Hollywood Reporter. In other Star Wars news, The Mandalorian and Grogu is headed to theaters summer of 2026. Anyone else having trouble keeping these films straight? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We are going to put a little pause on that warm-up that started yesterday. Today, sunshine, cooler, 12 our high this afternoon. Tonight, down to 2 below, but we will get back to 23 tomorrow, 32 our high by Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. It is 8 degrees outside right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll ask our Week in Review panel to weigh in on whether the new Trump administration is on track or is already a train wreck.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinaire on Air. Jane Matinaire, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Todd Alva follows us after the noon news. Today, Todd, we'll have a recap of the Wisconsin State of the State address by Governor Evers. And as they do every day, they play What's Worse. Today, it's the peanut butter edition. I think I know where that's going to go.
Crunchy versus smooth.
Crunchy versus smooth.
Oh, that's a decision that divides homes.
It's crunchy is the best peanut butter.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's just.
I'll take a smooth.
I think that's pretty. What's the argument? I don't think there's any conversation there. But that's Todd today from noon to 2 p.m. Right now, we're joined as we are every other Thursday at this time with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan. Where do you come down on peanut butter, Paul? The burning question of this morning.
I am open to all peanut butters, honestly. All good.
Paul Noonan,
that's so diplomatic.
Can't make a decision on peanut butters.
I slightly prefer chunky myself, but we have a lot of smooth in the house. I feel like kids often prefer smooth, and so parents often get saddled with smooth peanut butter, regardless of what they prefer.
Well, that's because kids' palates are not developed yet, and as they develop a finer palate, they lean more towards chunky peanut butter. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is, Calvin.
Calvin?
I suppose I am a child then, because smooth peanut butter is the only way to go.
Is it a texture thing?
Yeah, I think it's mostly a texture thing.
Oh, see, one day someday you'll start paying taxes and you'll get that sweet, chunky feeling of peanut butter and you'll be a real adult, Calvin.
I'm so disappointed in you, Calvin. Had I known this, that's okay.
Currently, we are hiring a Matinaire on air for a
We love Calvin. That's not true. Despite his bad taste in peanut butter. Anyway, let's move on. Paul Noonan is here to talk all things sports balls. Let's talk, first of all, about the loss of Bob Uecker at the age of 90. What are some of your best memories of Uecker?
So I grew up listening to Bob Uecker forever. Everybody in Milwaukee did. He served, like four, five, six generations of people as the Brewers radio guy. And my primary memories of listening to Bob Uecker involve us as a family basically eating at Gilly's, not every Sunday, but maybe every other Sunday,
sure.
And eating in our car with the game on. And so I did that constantly as a kid. One thing I like about Bob Uecker, first of all, is everybody said what they can, but it's rare to get someone who is both a professional level athlete, even at Bob Uecker's level. He would, of course, make fun of his own career.
But he was still in the majors.
He was in the majors, and it's not easy to be in the majors, but also a legitimate professional level stand-up comic built into the same person. It basically will never exist again. The odds of the two things happening are impossible. And it's not that we underrate Uecker's comedy chops. We certainly don't. But I feel like he kind of gets lumped in sometimes with someone who's funny for a baseball guy, when that's not the case at all. He was actually funny for just a person, a human. That's why Johnny Carson liked having him on. That's why he is in Major League and basically got to write all of his own lines for it. And that's why he had his own sitcom. And we'll never get this again, because the odds of those two things converging into one person are just astronomical. And if they do, the odds of that guy being happy and so involved in a team in the smallest market in baseball and not going off to Hollywood and leaving and living in Los Angeles is also just astronomically small. So you can never replace Bob Uecker anyway, but we should really cherish the memories we have of him, just because it's such a rare thing to get someone so quick on their feet, so talented at storytelling. And the memory that I want to point out, just because it's actually fairly recent, but his riff on running into the Pittsburgh Furries convention, you can find it online. It's very, very good. And I think it highlights a lot of Bob Uecker, which is even though he was a very confident guy, he never punched down. And, he was always very self-deprecating in his humor.
Yes.
And it would have been one of the easiest scenarios in history to punch down on and not looked good in retrospect. But instead, it is his typical, very light, very witty, humor, and it's like 17 minutes during a terrible baseball game. You can go find a clip of it online. It is the stories when they're losing are sometimes better than the game calls when they're winning. So
yeah,
everybody go check that out. There's a zillion good Bucher clips. People have been smashing them together over the last week, and they're all worth watching.
I'm telling you, I went back and looked at some of his earlier Johnny Carson appearances. For one thing, they're worth looking at just for the hair and the sideburns.
The sideburns. Oh my goodness.
And then the suits. The leisure suits and the plaid jackets and the pants, and it will blow your mind.
Yeah.
Really will.
Smoking on television. Just.
But going back to his comedy chops, the most deadpan delivery you have ever seen, it was remarkable. And I think, too, Paul, one of the things that made him so lovable was exactly what you said. He never punched down. He was very humble. He was self-deprecating. He could have let it go to his head, and he didn't.
Yeah, he really could have. And I think it's why a lot of Euchre stuff actually really does stand the test of time pretty well. Like, for any announcer who called things through the 70s, 80s, like, if you go look at a contemporary who's been gone a lot longer, Howard Cosell, a lot of that did not survive very well. It's very cringy. Howard Cosell said a lot of things that do not look well in retrospect. Yeah. Out there if you go and look for them, but there are not very many of them. Yeah. And to the extent they exist at all, they're the kind of thing that were kind of true of everybody. But Euchre avoided that by virtue of first of all being on the correct side of civil rights in the first place.
Yeah.
Especially in the baseball meme, there are some very good Carsons on that topic as well, if people want to go back to that. He really does, like, all of his clips survive very well for that reason. And that's the sign of a guy who I think was genuinely a good guy when you got right down to it.
Go on, Paul.
His major league performances I also really like because he kind of set the standard for what an announcer in a movie should be. If you go and watch any other sports movie, announcers are usually just exposition dumps. They're often very clumsy. They're telling you, like, that the guy who's batting right now is, like, the greatest guy ever. Euchre wrote all of his own lines for that. If you go and find any oral history of Major League, he basically was given leeway to do so. And all of his calls tell you exactly the amount of information you need to know about a player, but they're very organic, and they assume they're in the Major League universe. They're not telling you, the viewer outside, like describing guys if you've never heard him before.
Sure.
Or heard of him before. And so it's one of the best announcer performances ever. Any good one after that is basically copying it. Just the Pete Vukovich of, he leads the league in most offensive categories, including nose hair. That is a great joke. It tells you that he's a great offensive player, but it does it in the way Euchre would call a game by also poking fun at the guy at the plate. So,
I was going to say, the other one that I was thinking about is Rookie of the Year, John Candy. He did an amazing job because you could tell he's not just calling the game. He's a true fan of the Cubs in that movie. And I was thinking about this, too. Is like there was, I think it was this past season when Yelich was hurt. He went to the announcing booth and everyone, to their shock, was like, he was really good. Like he was entertaining. He was informative. And I thought to myself, like, I'm not looking for another Euchre. There's never going to be another Euchre,
ever.
But it would be great if Milwaukee could get somebody, one, who played at home, and two, love this city, which I truly believe Christian Yelich does. He loves the city of Milwaukee, loves the team, loves the fans. The only difference is, I feel like, and Paul, tell me if I'm wrong, is when they hire, especially now, well, they hire more for television, but like there's a premium put on ex-players to be slick and cool and all those things. And especially in today's baseball, like they're millionaires. Bob Euchre wasn't a millionaire.
Right.
They rode on buses. They lived a life of like working class guys. So there's a lot of stories that go along there. I don't know if Christian Yelich will have those working class stories to tell during the game.
There is that for sure. And I do think that the announcer development track is a little anodyne. It plays to big personalities and safe personalities. And Euchre's not that. It never was. And a lot of old time announcers weren't that either. If you think about modern announcers who are famous, like Joe Buck jumps immediately to mind. Mm-hmm. He just has his dad's voice. Like Joe Buck is a fine announcer, but you really tend not to find those big life experiences now with any announcer in any sport that you used to get with sort of the Euchre generation. And that is kind of too bad. It really is like that there's a playbook on how you call games, and there's not a lot of variety, not as much as there used to be. And it is kind of a lost art.
That's a joyful part of the game, unfortunately, that is gone. Do you think Bob Uecker will be put in the Hall of Fame? I certainly think he should be.
I have to be honest. I thought he already was as an announcer. He is.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, no. His Hall of Fame speech is actually really, really well done, as you would expect it to be. It is very touching. It's very funny. And that's worth a watch, too. It's, I think, about 18 minutes long. And you can find it all over YouTube.
Yeah. All right. We're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about the NFC North coaching. Here, you take this one and I'll take that one.
So, the Packers, unfortunately, have had their season end, but the NFC North never stops. The Bears did hire Detroit's offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, to be their new head coach. He was the most sought-after coaching candidate on the last two seasons, and they must have – well, they did back up a dump truck full of money. I think he's getting $13 or $14 million a year, which makes him one of the highest-paid coaches in the league. And it's a big blow to Detroit. Like, everybody wanted Ben Johnson. He runs a very creative offense. And to the extent that you want to try and fix Caleb Williams and what ails him, this is not a bad way to go. Ben Johnson is well regarded as an offensive genius. Honestly, the Bears probably couldn't have done better than this. Doesn't mean it'll work out, of course. You never know how coordinators are going to work out as head coaches. But this is the smart play for them for sure.
Calvin.
Well, I'm going to make a hot take prediction. Before the hire, I would have told you that Ben Johnson would have been the right pick for the Bears. But since his hiring, he seems a little overwhelmed, and I'm not predicting great things.
So I will say this. We've heard a couple little rumblings, in the ether of football coverage, that Ben Johnson is a little bit of an odd duck just in terms of the leadership portion of coaching. And that's why he did get along so well with Dan Campbell, who, oozes leadership from his pores. The Bears are also interested on the defensive coordinator side of Dennis Allen. That would help balance this out a bit if they got him. So we also hear Dan Campbell was more involved in the offense than is commonly understood. So we'll see if Ben Johnson's always cracked up to be. And, Calvin, you may actually have a point there when it's all said and done. It's worth noting he didn't get any jobs last year. The Lions ponied up money to keep him, but those interviews that he had didn't go anywhere. So a little bit of reason for skepticism for sure.
Cool deal, get your money, but now I just want to see the Packers make him eat his words about beating Matt LaFleur twice. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. You went to the Bears. That's a team that really does. I mean, yes, they won last time, but I really wouldn't put your ducks all in a row on that.
Every Bear coach says take the job for the Bears, and everybody should stop. Like, the next Bear coach, when he gets his job in his press conference, should say, our goal is actually to win a Super Bowl, and if we happen to beat the Packers along the way, that's fine, but we need to stop focusing on this as a goal. They're just a team in our division. Let's actually be bigger than this. Nobody ever does it. Nobody does it. It's very abnormal.
And I just want to say, I felt so badly for the Lions when they got smoked. I really did feel badly for them, and I would like to see them get back to it next year.
Yeah.
Yep. I would too. Also, really, really quick, the Eagles actually hired their defensive coordinator as their head coach. And so they have a lot of work to do in the offseason. And it really is unfortunate because Detroit's main problem was just injuries. And that could happen to any team. They were super well run. They lost because their entire secondary got hurt, and they ran into a great quarterback with a coach who really can pick on passing deficiencies better than anybody. But Detroit's window is a little more tenuous than it was before. And the Vikings just gave Kevin O'Connell a big extension. They'll be consistent going forward. The Bears have their, fun new toys to play with. Detroit's got some work to do.
Paul Noonan joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports with the Acme Packing Company. Thank you so very much, Paul. We'll see you in a couple.
All right. Thanks, all.
Stay with us when we return. We'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Smile, You're on Candid Camera edition. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Shake it up. 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 Shake it up.
Your You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have updates on important state Supreme Court cases involving the outcome of a November 2024 North Carolina Supreme Court election and whether Pennsylvania can count mail ballots with missing dates. First to North Carolina, where after two recounts, a race for Supreme Court justice is separated by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs was declared the winner over appeals court judge Jefferson Griffin, but Griffin refused to concede and appealed to invalidate as many as 60,000 voters. Griffin's challenge includes voters with felony convictions, despite North Carolina's returning citizen rights restoration. He and the North Carolina GOP also challenge voters with incomplete registration information, some of whom are even elected officials and have voted for years. Wednesday, the Carolina Journal reported that the North Carolina Supreme Court refused to hear the case in a 5-1 decision, sending it back to Wake County Superior Court to consider Judge Griffin's complaints. Back in October, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court refused to rule on whether on-time mail-in ballots missing a signing date could be counted. Of the two challenges filed, the ACLU's argument that rejecting the ballots is a violation of the state constitution's free and equal elections clause will be considered. No trial date has been set. We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Calviente on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call, text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. Coming up tomorrow, it's Friday, so Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and also the founder of the award-winning Recombobulation Area. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling we will be talking about Elon Musk. All of a sudden concerned about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Oh, yeah. It's a
This isn't good.
Because of voter fraud, Jane.
Oh, is that what it is? Yes. I'm sure we'll be talking about that with Dan coming up tomorrow after 11 o'clock. So I hope you can join us. Also, stick around. Coming up on the Todd Allbaugh Show from noon to 2, he will have a recap of the Wisconsin State of the State address from Governor Evers last night. And also a peanut butter edition of what's worse.
Yeah.
I am assuming, we could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming it's going to be what's worse, chunky peanut butter or smooth peanut butter.
Yeah.
As we all know, chunky peanut butter is obviously the superior peanut butter. It's
definitely the superior peanut butter, Calvin.
Calvin likes smooth peanut butter.
We opened up a Pandora's box.
Rich from listening on WFHR. I'm with Calvin. Smooth peanut butter is the best.
You're
Rich from Wisconsin Rapids. We're so disappointed in you, Rich. Tom from Jackson. The best peanut butter is made by peanut butter company, white chocolatey wonderful flavor.
I don't know.
Never heard of that.
What?
Also, some comments on the live stream. Trying to get here. Creamy peanut butter, Jane, from Just Dave. Dave, you're so wrong. It's okay. We still love you. PJ Kroger Pick and Save has awesome honey peanut butter. I'm on board with the crunchy. PJ, very smart person.
He understands.
He gets it.
Do you want to try to redeem yourself?
Calvin's got some support, too, from the people who aren't wrong.
No, that's right. He can't
say, Todd's segment is called What's Worse. Maybe this isn't smooth versus crunchy, because I would think this would be a what's better, because they're both pretty good.
Oh, now he's changed his position, folks.
To be completely, I'm going to really flip, flop, make Greg angry here. I don't know if I've ever actually had chunky peanut butter.
Oh, we're going to rectify that tomorrow.
I'm just assuming I prefer smooth.
That's all right, Calvin.
This generation is done!
It's all about learning. We all learn together. That's kind of the whole point of Matt and Aaron on Air. Well, I'll bring some in tomorrow.
Maybe I'm a Republican. Maybe I just don't believe in the younger people to take control of this world.
It is 11:54. We better hurry up. It's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. From odditycentral.com, headline reads, company secretly films employees in restroom and then posts them on wall of shame. A Chinese company under fire for putting in surveillance cameras in the bathroom to find out which employees are spending too much time on those bathroom breaks. And then they put pictures up on the wall of shame. Many Chinese companies long been trying to discourage workers from taking too much time in the restroom by various means. They have counter timers on bathroom stalls, or they limit bathroom breaks to one per day.
Oh, boy. I mean, there's a lot of things rushing through my head, right? First of all, I should have went to the bathroom before this segment started. I'm not going to lie. I really have to go. No.
One Chinese tech company took things further by putting in hidden surveillance cameras in restrooms to monitor employees' activity and then shaming those who wasted too much time by posting screenshots of them for everyone to see. The company has admitted that employees were surveilled in the company bathroom, but claimed the measure was meant to discourage time wasted during work hours. No. First of all, once per day, I don't know who those people are. They must have the largest bladders on the planet, for one thing. What do you think people are having meetings in there? What do you think is going on? They're taking naps? What?
Okay. Once again, I do not want to step on this landmine of defending them, but all I will say is this. People go to the bathroom and they take their phones, and before you know it, you've been in there for like 5-6 minutes scrolling through something. You're like, oh, I got to get back to work. A sane corporation would do one of two things. They wouldn't notice at all. They'd move on. Or two, say, hey, we're noticing that you're spending more time in the bathroom. If it's a medical thing, fine.
Sure.
But if not, we need you to get back to work. You've been told.
But this is next level demonic. It's creepy.
Yeah.
It's just creepy.
And posting it on the wall, that seems like you should be able to be sued. And second of all, wall of shame? This shouldn't be a thing.
That's exactly why we did it. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we said, Todd Alba coming up next from noon to 2 p.m. right after the noon news. Then it's Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6. Pete Schwabba lightening things up a little bit with Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. And then join Robert Pilot. We had him on earlier today, host of Native Roots Radio from 8 to 9 p.m. We're going to have him back. So much more to cover with Robert.
Check out civicmedia.us and check out the night lineup after Nightlight. There are great shows happening all through the evening. So after Nightlight, there's still great stuff on the radio. So tune in.
Absolutely. Thank you, Greg, Calvin, all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today. You have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipwitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A major settlement announced for OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma and its owners in lawsuits over the opioid crisis. New York's attorney general says the Sackler family has agreed to pay up to $7.4 billion in a new settlement, more than $1 billion more than a previous settlement rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court last year. Here's ABC's Aaron Kutursky.
The U.S. Supreme Court said the Sackler families couldn't automatically be shielded from litigation from those who didn't buy into the settlement under the terms of Purdue Pharma's bankruptcy. The company was filing for bankruptcy, not those individuals. So that provision is gone.
Following President Trump's immigration executive order declaring a national emergency, the first wave of military troops are heading to the southern border. The Pentagon says it's deployed 1,500 to help